Honestly, I'm not one for New Year's resolutions. I have no problem with them per se, but they've just never been my thing. It could be that it is the result of having that particular affliction known as procrastination. I will delay doing the thing that I know I should be doing until I can either wait no longer or until the need for it is entirely gone, which is so convenient. But recently, I've been reconsidering my reluctance around resolutions because I've been thinking a lot lately about the importance of now, of this moment, of today. The past few weeks have brought powerful reminders that life is decidedly unpredictable. The length of our days is a mystery, something we simply do not know, which means that the most precious moment in our life is this one. Now, this realization began when our dear friend Christopher Rogers died before Christmas. Chris, or Topher to many of you, was a leader here at Transfiguration for many years. And then we proudly sent him off to seminary and on to ordination as a priest. And then, far too soon, long before anyone was ready or expecting, he was gone. And then, last week, no doubt like some of you, I watched as a 24-year-old man literally died on the field of an NFL game and then was resuscitated and evacuated to a hospital. That NFL player is making a slow recovery, but it is a searing experience to witness such an event live on national television. So, like I said, I've been pondering the precariousness of life, of this day, of this moment, and feeling more than I can remember that I really shouldn't put off for tomorrow what I could be doing today. I'm filled with more urgency to grow as a person, as a priest, as a disciple of Jesus. I don't want to wait for times to be better, for it to be a more convenient time to do the things that have the potential to make me more Christ-like, because we've received these reminders that tomorrow is not promised to us. And besides, after the doozies of 2020, 2021, and 2022, do we honestly think 2023 is going to be better? Which is why I've been thinking a lot more than normal about resolutions. And it seems that I'm not alone in this. I did a casual survey of my Facebook feed around the turn of the year and noticed that more than a few people I know are in the same state of mind. I wonder if you've been thinking about resolutions too. Well, if you have, and even if you haven't, let me say that today is an excellent day to give it some thought. And not only because it's the start of a new year, but also because today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord Jesus. It is the day when we remember the sacred importance of baptism. And baptism is all about new beginnings, about turning from the old and embracing the new, about setting down what was and embracing what should be, about deciding how we will choose to live. And what's more, in our baptismal covenant, which we will renew together here in just a few minutes, we are given some incredibly helpful resolution starters. The baptismal covenant includes 5 core promises that work sort of like building blocks for holier living. We are to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. We are to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. We are to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. We are to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And we are to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. Now, for those of you who are longtime Episcopalians, these 5 promises are very familiar to you, perhaps so much so that they are sort of like religious white noise, just kind of quietly humming in the background, but not something you pay a whole lot of attention to. And for those of you who are newer to our tradition, it may come as something of a surprise to learn that we actually have a list of the ways we are trying to live as Christian people. But whether you have heard them for decades or whether they are brand new to you, I think we can all admit that those 5 promises are a little bit abstract and more than a little bit humongous, which can make it harder than it might seem at first to follow them, and why on their own they don't suffice as resolutions, not precisely. Social scientists say that the most successful resolutions involve specifics. So, for example, instead of a resolution to ride my bike more in 2023, I should make a resolution to ride my bike at least 150 miles every month in 2023. Specifics. Instead of a resolution to eat healthier in 2023, I can make a resolution to eat vegetarian 3 days a week. Or in my case, stop buying tortilla chips, because if they're in the house, I'm going to eat them. If we want to keep our resolutions, whatever they are, if we want to do better as people and as disciples, the best thing we can do to set ourselves up for success is to be more specific. And that is very much the case when trying to create resolutions out of the baptismal covenant. So, in that vein, I want to make a few suggestions today, a few proposals, a few specific resolutions derived from each of the 5 baptismal promises. These are by no means requirements. These are not written in the Book of Common Prayer. They may not be what you know you need, but hopefully they will at least jog your imagination to get you thinking about the sorts of changes you need to make in your life in order to grow in your faith. So let me take the first one. In order to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, what if you resolved to see your drive to church as the start of the service? That is, what if you moved back the moment a little bit further back in time on Sunday morning when you set the literal or proverbial phone down? When you pause in that conversation you have with your spouse about what you're going to make tonight for dinner, or whatever it is that you do right up until the moment that the bells chime and you think, oh gosh, we're starting. Because our bodies can be in this building, but it isn't until our hearts and our minds join them that we are really worshiping God. So what if you resolve to be more attentive and present in worship? Before you ever walk through the doors or find your pew. All right, let's take the second one. In order to get better at persevering and resisting evil, repenting and returning to the Lord, what if this year you resolved to make better apologies? In my experience, most people need to work on this. We may squeeze out those words, "I'm sorry," but we far too often fail to surround those words with other words, more importantly, with other actions that show that we actually mean it. Why are you sorry? Why is what you did wrong? What will you do differently next time? How will you try to make right what you set wrong? True apologies, real apologies, include these elements, and this very much applies in our apologies to God, which can easily become little more than lip service. So what if you resolved this year to make better apologies? Let me try the third one. In order to become stronger at proclaiming by word and example the good news of God in Christ, what if you resolved to give another hour a week or another 1% of your income to the work of God in the church? In my experience, our lives are the best witness to what we claim to believe. Which is why one of the most compelling moments of evangelism happens when a friend or a coworker asks whether or not we're free on such and such an evening, and we say back to them, "I'm so sorry, I can't. I have a commitment at church that night." And likewise, when we give away more of what we have to the work of God in the world, we become more invested and involved. That is always what happens, which then bolsters our witness to the gospel. So what if you resolved to give one more hour a week or 1% of your income to God? Let me try another one. In order to seek and serve Christ in all persons and love your neighbor as yourself, what if this year you resolved to pray every day? Because if it's not happening every day, you're going to forget to do it. Every day for that politician or leader who you would never vote for. Who more often than not does the very opposite of what you firmly believe is the right thing to do. And by praying for them, I'm not saying that you ask God to smite them. Or to give them an epiphany of how stupid they've been. I'm talking about every day asking God to bless them, asking God to be merciful to them, asking God to pour out an abundance of love on them. God answers prayers, friends. But the strongest effect of these prayers will be in us. So what if you resolve to pray for the people who are the hardest in your life to love? All right, let me try the last one. In order to strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being, what if you resolved to write letters with our peace post every month? This one's just once a month. Peace Post is an offering from Episcopal Peace Fellowship. They gather every month in the church office to write leaders, elected or appointed, about issues of justice and dignity, issues that our faith teaches us to care about. And we write those letters each in our own words. I don't sit there and tell you what to write. We write according to our own consciences, asking people in positions of power to help us create a more just and peaceful world. I'm going to help you if this is a resolution you're considering making for this year, because it just so happens Peace Post is meeting today from 10 to 2. So after you have breakfast, you can mosey down to the church lobby and write a few letters. That's 5 resolutions. Maybe they don't seem like much. Maybe they seem like an awful lot. But they are 5 resolutions based on 5 promises you have already made. And they may not be the right resolutions for you, but I hope at the very least they will help you consider what might be the right resolutions for you. What could you begin doing that will help you love others more? What could you begin doing to deepen your life with God? What could you begin doing this year to help you become more Christ-like? I've given you a few ideas. I'd love to hear yours. I hope as you think and pray about this that you will then send me a little message. Let me know what you are aspiring to do so that I can learn from your faith and also try to support you as you seek to uphold them. But please, whatever you do, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait to start a good thing for a more convenient time. This day, this precious moment, is a gift, and we are not promised tomorrow. So be swift to love. Make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God will be with us all. Amen.